My name is Cheryl Ramsey. Today is February 23rd, 2008, and I'm interviewing. And I need your name.
You need my name?
Yes, sir.
Gilmore Perry, Gilmore. I'm getting right off the sheet that I just gave you.
Okay, that's true. And also, I'm interviewing
Lawrence Mitchell.
Lawrence Mitchell and Gilmore Perry Jr.
The whole name, just Lawrence William, or the whole thing?
Lawrence William.
What?
That's fine. Okay. And we are at Jerusalem Baptist Church. Okay. So, I guess I'd like to ask first, where and when were you born?
I was born in September 7th, 1940. On Northrop Avenue, 916.
And you, sir?
July 1st, 1939.
Okay. And how long have you both lived in Roanoke? And possibly what streets and neighborhoods did you live in on?
I lived in Roanoke from 1940 to 1958, after which I went off to college and returned about 3 years ago.
And Mr. Williams?
Lived in Philadelphia during that particular time.
Okay.
After college.
And Mr. Mitchell, how long have you lived in Roanoke?
I was born, well, there used to be some apartments in this parking lot. Born right there. I lived there, well, that's about 15 years. Then we bought a house across the street over here. I lived there about another 3 years until I finished high school. Which I graduated, I think it was June 8th, 1958. Yeah. One of those days, I don't know which one it was. And after I finished school, you want to know where I worked at too, something like that, where I was going to school?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Get
when I was in 12th grade, I was working at Sears Roebuck, putting on tires and seat covers and batteries. From 5 to 9, 5 days a week, and on Saturday all day, which is about 28 hours a week, I guess. Yeah, 28 hours a week, working part time. Worked there myself about, I guess I worked about 3 or 4 months. When I left there, I went to the Catawba Sanatorium. You're at Catawba Hospital up there on the mountain?
Yes, sir.
I worked up there for about about 6 months to the day I went into the Army.
Okay.
So I went on the Army on Wednesday, March 31st, 1959. 1959, you're right, yeah. That's when I went to service. I was in there for 2 years. Came back here and stayed 45 days. Left here and went to Philadelphia. Sister, husband got me a job up there in the factory, pressing suits, vests on brand new suits. I didn't like that. I think about 2 weeks left there, I went to Saint, New Jersey. I had some relatives over there, cousins. And there, I went over there, I was doing construction work. I worked there, I guess, for about 2 years. Then I left construction and went into a pharmaceutical place where they made cosmetics and pharmaceutical products. I worked there for 8.5 years. There, then I went to a dye factory. I quit the other job, but I was 8.5 years. I liked to supervise, so I went to this dye place, worked up for about 2 years. Then they laid the whole third shift off. Then I just came on back home. And my brother had a club over there called the Bucks Playboy Club.
Where is that?
He called me up, 1113 Center Avenue. It's still standing, it's a daycare center now. He got a daycare center there now. Then I ran for a while, then he got the job on the railroad. And well, that part of the job kept laying off so much. So I left there, because they had several jobs after, but I just got on the job. I was with the City of Roanoke. After that, I started working with the City of Roanoke. I was there 22 years and 10 months until I was 62. I was like about 38 or 40 days from being 62. So I stayed there until I retired, and I've been here ever since. But I was in Jersey, though, for 13 and a half years before I came back here. So I'm in 2 years.
So do you have family still living here?
Yes, I still have nieces and nephews and uncles and aunts that still reside in Roanoke.
In this area?
In this area. In, well, not in the west end section, but in the northwest, primarily North County.
Okay. And can you all tell me a little bit about your education or your school life here in Roanoke?
What I took, well, I didn't go to college, but while I was in high school.
Very high school?
Yeah. I took up 2 years of culture in 9th and 10th grade, 2 years of mechanics in 11 and 12. And I learned electrician since I've been back here, and I did that plumbing, brickland. Well, I had brickland in junior high school. You remember that?
Yeah.
What was your name? I forget the teacher's name. What photography class, how to do films, what you know.
What school did you go to?
O.J. Watson.
Okay.
Went to Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison for about 4 years. Then they opened, but a lot of them was all white, and then became black. So I went there from the fourth to the sixth grade. And then they opened up Old Addison. They named it Booker T. Washington. We were the first blacks to go in there as a junior high school. You remember that, don't you?
Yeah.
So when they opened New Addison, then the Old Addison made it junior high, which is it's an administration building now, what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for you?
Well, what I could remember during that time, we didn't have school buses, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a school in Southwest for us. We grew up during a time of segregation in the 40s and 50s. We had to catch the city bus to go to school.
Oh, sure.
And quite naturally, the closest school to us during that time was Loudoun, as Lawrence mentioned earlier, Harrison.
Harrison first.
Those were the two closest schools to us. So we had to be bused to those particular schools by way of city buses.
Harrison?
Oh, that was on Harrison Avenue. You know where old Harrison Museum is?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is, that was, in fact, that was the first black high school that they had. This is where Miss Addison started. And from that particular point, as he stated earlier, we went to Booker T. Again, we were still bused. We still didn't have buses. We had either walked.
Wait a minute. After we got out of elementary, it was on your own. You had to get school back.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We still had to ride the city buses.
Booker T, right?
Yeah, we still had to ride the city buses when we went to Booker T. But during that particular time, even though this particular area was primarily depressed, we didn't know. We had no idea that we were poor, you know. And we weren't widespread as West End or Southwest is today. Black folk went from 5th Street to 15th Street, from Jackson Avenue to Salem Avenue. We did not live on Roy Avenue until the middle 50s. And then they spread it out to Camel and so forth and so forth. And it was sort of a class thing even at that.
We had unity though.
Yeah. I mean, and that made us unity because we were so close. We knew everyone. And this was the way we were raised. Everyone knew everyone. And if you did something wrong, then everyone was right on your case. But during that time, and I can only speak for the first 18 years of my life before coming back to Roanoke. After I left Roanoke, I went to college.
Where did you go to college?
I went to three different colleges. I went to Virginia State. I graduated from Bluefield State. I graduated from Temple University, and I graduated from California State University. My law degree came from California State University. But I went back to Philadelphia, and that's because that's who sent me to get my law degree. After which I retired, and I came back to Roanoke to live.
When did you come back to Roanoke?
I came back to Roanoke in 2004.
Okay. You have family here? Is that why you came back?
I came back. I still had nieces and nephews. I have a son that lives in Richmond. I wanted to be closer to my grandchildren and so forth. So I moved back to Roanoke after retiring. Well, I've been retired for 10 years now. So I stayed around Philadelphia for a while of my own office and so forth. But getting back to Roanoke itself, when I returned, so many changes had taken place because we, all of old Southwest was just about demolished and torn down. As I knew Southwest, you see, even where they are building, if you recall, it's where they are building the houses now, or even Hurt Park. I know when we left Roanoke, it was no Hurt Park School. That was our football field, our sports field.
Yeah.
That they had put up for us.
The whole area?
Hurt Park.
Yeah, which we had practice.
Even where the Hurt Park.
That whole, where Hurt Park School is?
Right, but the whole part where the projects were, was that there? Or?
Oh, you see, the projects wasn't there. You see, you have to go back to 1951 when they built Lincoln Terrace. There was a projects where Hurt Park is, school is, was. That was a project. You remember the old barracks?
The old barracks. Those
were
the OGI homes.
Yeah, OGI homes, but it was a projects.
Right.
You see, they tore those homes down and made a football field for us.
Crackle boxes, houses, you know. Like,
right. And when they opened up Lincoln Terrace, huh?
That was in the 50s?
That was in the 50s, yeah. Early 50s.
I think before.
Early 50s.
Probably about
right
55, 53?
No, it was before that. It was around 51.
Wow, okay.
They opened up Lincoln Terrace. And when they opened up Lincoln Terrace, they tore those down and made the field up there for us. But that was the only thing up there. But you have to understand that even at that particular point, we couldn't go beyond there. We couldn't go beyond because we didn't live in that area then. You see, we stopped around 16th Street.
Right. I remember we used to go out there and go swimming, right?
Right.
Yeah,
from north, right.
There's a little white boy. He had big dogs. I think he's still living. I've seen him somewhere. Like him. And I had a dog. And Tippy, you remember that dog I had?
Yeah.
Brown dog. We had to go across past 11th Street. And every time we go across there, he had rocks and we had. So he throwing us and calling us all kind of ends, you know. My dog caught him in the butt one time. we learned how to swim right out here in a river. Almost got drowned when I was 5. Yeah. You almost got drowned. And
yeah,
my brother saved both of y'all.
Yeah. Right. Those were the days.
Yeah.
But in terms of progress, you know, I imagine that you would have to, well, Lawrence may have been around then, but like I said, I left after that time and with the changes being made and everything. In fact, this 10th Street Bridge wasn't even there when I left Roanoke. We still had a little small, you know, little bridge we had to cross, almost a one-laner, when I left Roanoke. But I do remember, this was my church, and I was a member of this church, your church too. I remember the church for over 50 years.
Boy Scouts here, he did too.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Moses Young, Pastor Franklin, George Eddie. Scott Masters.
Yeah. But now this is, you know, this has changed completely. You know, you can live wherever you want to in Southwest, but during my time we could not, you know, like I said, we did come up during the years of segregation where we had to go in the back of the Commodore Inn.
Right.
You know, and
the Commodore Inn, where is that? Or where was that?
13th Street.
It's
okay. Yes.
Name's still okay.
13th Street. You're because I was born on 13th Street. 12th Street. I was born on 12th Street.
Well, you were raised up down there.
Yeah, but I was raised up down there. I spent 5 years on 13th Street again. But that was
nice little house down there.
A family cluster.
Right.
My grandmother, grandfather, uncles, aunts, and all of them lived in the 900 block.
Uncle lived next door?
Yeah, in the 900 block. So I grew up as a cluster of family. Right. You know, so, but it was great, you know, and even though, you know, we still experience those hardships and everything. And seemingly they're still experiencing hardships, but progress, I guess.
Are there any stories or something that stands out, something memorable that you remember from when you were here or during that time?
Say, when we don't work here at all, dishwashing, you can't probably get a dishwashing job. If you had education, you couldn't get down here. So, you know, we didn't have any, so we had everybody got migrating north, D.C. on up, you know, get a decent job back in the day.
Yeah,
that's why I left here. I forgot I wasn't down here.
When did you?
I was working for Travis Sanatorium, what dishwashing jobs, that's it. Couldn't find no work, you remember?
How old were you when you left?
I left Roanoke, I was 19. I went to Army, I was 19.
Okay.
I got out of Army, I was 21. I got out of Army February 28, 1961. Stayed there 45 days.
Well, I came back after college to seek employment because I was just married. And I was offered a contract with the Roanoke City Schools at that particular time. The year that I graduated from college, the starting salary for teachers and was something like $2,900. Which I felt was was a bit low, so I sought my fortune somewhere else, mm-hmm. you know. But I went with the Boy Scouts of America, became a district scout executive serving the southern part of Virginia, which transferred me to Philadelphia at that particular time. But salaries and job availability was at...
Chaos.
Was at an all-time low for blacks, and this is when they were just opening up General Electric. I think they start hiring people at General Electric and places like that.
Give me a little down on that. I didn't do it myself. I
don't know whether to.
I went up and applied for a job at Wood Hine Brothers.
Yeah.
Now, Neil Bennett, he retired, but he's out there now.
Mm.
Yeah, he knew more about it than I do.
Yeah.
He said, only way we got on is when they went on a strike up there one time. The whites went on strike, and they hired brothers.
Yeah.
You know, they had got their right mm-hmm. to work the law in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and when they hired them, like, then they started hiring them after they sell the strike. And they kept some of the brothers. That's what he told me. And he's mm-hmm. out there now. He's about 70, 76, 77.
Yeah. Yeah. But through it all, I think growing up in Roanoke, and especially Southwest, because it's all I can speak on in terms of you know, people and how people responded to us was very good. Like I said, we didn't know, you know, we were so happy with what we were doing
right.
until we didn't know how poor we really were.
But you know,
we weren't poor.
We never was on welfare, at least
yeah,
I would.
Yeah, West End. During that particular time, and this is not a negative thing that I'm saying, but y'all call it West End. We just purely call it Southwest,
mm-hmm.
you know. And as a result of that, people sold a whole lot of liquor
yep.
in Southwest. I mean,
this is
not a negative thing. I'm saying this was a survival.
Right.
During that particular time, and bonded and unbonded,
right.
you know, and this is how a whole lot of people in Southwest made it.
I'm telling you.
Now that's not a negative thing. I'm talking in terms of survival.
I'm telling you, that's you all. Know, you talking about whiskey? That was the only time I ever had anything. My dad is working Walker Sheen Farms, so my mother was selling whiskey in that little house over there, and we sold over there. You know, and that's the only time I ever had the money. She's making more money than he was then.
Yeah, so it's not a negative thing, and it was open. It wasn't a closed issue. You know, you met in church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The same people that people that were that were selling and you know, and after which you went and you made them happy. You know,
sure,
but. But I thought it was good, you know, now that I can reflect back on it.
Now, he came to my family with two people. I had five. His daddy worked two jobs. He worked over the Uncle Anthony, he had worked in that club back of the road.
Yeah,
daddy,
yeah.
Night.
Right.
It was Mr. Perry.
Yeah.
And I remember one time he said, I want a job over at that Atlanta. Man, he comes from hard work. I lasted about 2 weeks. Pulled the clothes out of the tub.
Yeah.
Man, hot. You worked there one time, too, didn't you?
I worked there every summer when I was in college.
Man, that's hard work.
Yeah. What was that doing? What?
The Roanoke Linen Service. They had these tubs where they washed the clothes, and you had to pull those clothes out of the tub, you know, with your hands, with your bare hands. It would swell up, you know, because so much water would get into your fingers, you know.
Coming off, I had about 8 sandwiches, a quarter of milk. Man, I was so tired. Lasted about 2 weeks. I said, "Mr. Price, I can't take no more."
Yeah, those were the days.
Did you all ever go to Gainesboro and the the Dumas and all that
stuff? Yeah, well, we had to, I mean, because that's where all the happenings was, you know, around the Gainesboro area, such as this is where the Y was located, the Young Men's Christian Association, Henry Street, you know, this is where all the activity was, the movies. It was the only movie that we had, you know, was the one that was up there. Unless you wanted to go downtown and go upstairs to the balcony, the one downstairs. But this is where all our activities generated from that particular area, the Gainesboro area. And this is why we were so close throughout the city, because we all grew up together. We all had to go to the same schools. So therefore, we met up at a certain time, and that was our life. You know, there's no one, hardly anyone, that's my age that lives in Roanoke that I don't know. And that's northwest, northeast, before they tore northeast down to the city realized that they needed to expand, and they tore northeast down, and the people from northeast moved to southwest. This is when Roar Avenue opened up. Okay, Roar Avenue and Patterson opened up. You see, those particular streets housed the people that were displaced from upper northeast. That's interesting.
And the projects back then, the people, they drank beer and whiskey. There wasn't no drugs in it back then, like it is now. But I used to ride about two tanks of gas out looking for women. Me and Joe Lewis. You know John Lewis?
Yeah,
I got some pictures here of a house I was born in. I'm sure my dad has. I ain't sure, Mom. My mother's
and I think we would like to get copies of those, if you like. Well, what was your home life like, aside from, or any stories passed down from generations, or were your parents grew up here? Or?
Yeah, my parents grew up here, too. My parents grew up, like I said, my grandmother and grandfather, well, my father was from North Carolina, but my mother grew up half a block from where I was grew up, because her parents grew up there, you see, and parents from that grew up there. So I go all the way back to about 1885, Southwest.
Well, your parents born here?
Huh?
Your dad born
here? No, my father was born in North Carolina, but my mother and her mother was all down around 9th Street.
All the way down to 5th Street, those apartments.
Right. But my grandmother actually, and this was sort of a class type system, my grandmother was real fair. You know, his name was real fair. And she grew up over on Patterson Avenue, see, because her father was white. You see. And she was on the lower part of Patterson. Was it Patterson? Patterson Avenue?
Yeah,
Camel,
Fifth Street.
Right, Camel, okay. And she grew up right in that pocket right there. And so they've been up here.
Was she real white? Yeah.
They
like when they treat them better.
Right.
Tell you something. I remember seeing it. My mother had some clips of it on the paper when she had steak. Some. They had, like they need somebody to do domestic work around the house. Mm-hmm. They had them on a light-skinned colored person working. You remember seeing that in the paper?
Yeah.
Go back to complexion. Yeah. On a driver's license, had your complexion on it. Mine was light brown. And it was dark brown. And I guess some of them you're so light, they don't know what you say. Oh, whatever. You remember seeing it on your license? Yeah. I'm 15.
Yeah, I remember that. Now, my grandfather was from Lynchburg. My mother's father was from Lynchburg. And they owned a whole lot of property in Lynchburg, houses and stuff like that. So when they built the house down here, they built a big house. You know, a big house on the corner with the pillows and all that. Mm-hmm. My grandfather didn't build.
Where is that?
This was a block down.
Is it still there?
Oh, no. It's since been demolished because they passed an ordinance or something that you can't, that it's only commercial from North Avenue, all the way down. So no one can live beyond 10th Street. and he tore all those houses down.
He only got only what?
My uncle's house.
Two houses. What? Two houses. Somebody living in there now.
Yeah, my uncle's house is still
there. I think it's two people that not on the block.
But no, I go back. Or my family go back around 1885 in this area.
Do they pass any stories down to you that you pass down to your children? Or?
Well, they were not historians in terms of. I think I know more about my father's people from North Carolina than actually what they would pass down as it relate to Ronald Big Lick at the time. Okay, but they do all the way back past the Big Lick era, you know. And same thing, because one of the things I could recognize myself in terms of what they were able to do, you know, just from listening to them. We're quite naturally doing that particular time. I don't think that they experienced much in terms of the depression because they had a few things going for them, you know. So I don't think that they experienced a whole lot during that particular time. In fact, this particular area, I don't think even experienced a ball of depression.
My daddy had a job, but he worked as a cook in Virginia Railroad.
Right.
He left there and went to work for his family.
Right. Yeah.
He worked there until he retired. Right. And he retired. Came in and lived with me, died me in Jersey.
Did you have any, or if they have any recollection of slavery or anybody associated with that?
My grandfather, them, I think, let me see, that people were slaves. I guess my niece, she's still in it. She knew what was history. She don't look it up in the library or whatever.
If you know anything, I guess, about slavery and how it affected this particular area, it just didn't affect this particular area too much because it was what would you call it? That would be the term. It was 90 Central. You know, it got over beyond Rocky Mountain, or Franklin County, or somewhere like that. What was this area good for?
Railroad.
Uh-huh. I mean, work.
But the railroad back back then, Northwestern did not exist. when the army would not trample in this particular area, simply because of the hilly terrains and everything. So it was very, very minimal. I mean, plantations, no plantations. I mean, you want to say, let's go and see this plantation? They have any plantations in this area? Where are we going to put a plantation at? What were they going to grow?
That's interesting.
Is that something to think about? I guess, you know. But no, I know mine did, and I know my grandfather was, or should, number one, my grandfather was born in, I think it was 79, I think it was. So he was a bit beyond slavery. His father, I know, in, like I say, in Lynchburg, and to this day, I don't know how he was able to accumulate all the land and houses and things that he had done, because my grandfather used to go down there to take care of it, you know. But I know that he
homesteaded.
He probably, you know, it's possible, but it wasn't too much of that here in, you know, in the valley, as they would call it, you know, slavery and so forth. They're angry.
Why would they do that?
If I looked at you in the wrong way, I mean, they would find a reason to do that. Are you from this area?
I am.
You are? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, they would hang you. Ain't no problem. They'd probably hang you.
But you were doing it
in the 40s and 50s. They had no problem hanging you.
If you cross the tracks, I guess.
If you cross the line that they have established in any... Back in this southern state, this is still a southern state, you know, and I had no problem doing that. But there's one thing I think, Lawrence, that we knew what our boundaries were.
Oh, yeah. Because
we were having so much fun within those boundaries. So that didn't bother us. You know, it didn't bother us at all. But yes, they would do that. They could find a reason to do that.
Remember.
Did white people come over to this side often for your whiskeys or the women?
Yeah, well, I mean,
the entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. all of that. And we had those type of clientele coming into this area. But we couldn't go into that area and do that, but they could come here, you know, and that applied to law enforcement or whatever.
Let me tell you about this. You know my brother's wife, don't you? Elsie?
Yeah.
You know, she died, had a kidney transplant operation. And she looked like she was white. You remember her?
Yeah.
You couldn't get married wrong because she was white.
I experienced the same thing.
He had to go up to Tennessee somewhere. He said black. One guy said, well, white, I don't marry him, a black preacher.
Yeah.
That was Junior got married. He just thinks she's white. I tell you what, Robert Herndon was together one time. And he had two girls. She was chasing him in his car. I think he had mama's car, I believe that 54. They were going out, him and Robert Herndon, they got married around about the same time. And she was chasing him in the Chevrolet. The white cop got in behind a motorcycle, stopped him, gave him off from a ticket. He said, wait a minute. He said, what are you doing chasing that nigga for? She said, that's my husband.
Yeah. I experienced similar things in West Virginia with my wife, you know, and she was fair, very, very fair, and I got stopped several times, but like I say again, during that time, we knew our boundaries, and it didn't bother us because we had, you know, nice young ladies.
What state was that?
You know, it was, you know, it didn't bother us.
Did you all have anyone here in Roanoke to look up to, any leaders or anybody activists of that type?
I know during the time that I was coming along, you see, there were families and some individuals such as the Claytons down in Hamlet.
Dr. Law, Claytons?
Yeah. Hamlet, I know he sort of influenced me. He was a frat brother of mine. Dr. Cundy, which just died, I go way back with him. In fact, he was my first dentist, which was also a frat brother. But
Dr. Pinker,
we had a whole lot of teachers. Many teachers were influential in, you know, in terms
especially
of molding a whole lot of
Miss Lawson, Mr. Poindexter.
That was all we had to turn to.
Mrs. Lawson, Mrs. Poindexter, they were the best English teachers.
Right.
Teacher, you say get, but Miss Carway was good in fifth grade. You remember her junior class?
Probably so. Probably so.
That's nice too.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
And she said, you say get 500 times a day. You say the next day, up to 1,000. You think it'd be so slow, right? Get.
But right here in Southwest, George Franklin, I grew up on Twelfth Street with him. He was about maybe 5 or 6 years older than we were, but he was, I know he was my mentor.
Yeah, he was
you know, I love the man, you know.
I remember him. I knew him.
Back then, he was.
Him and Melvin.
Melvin.
You know.
Best football players that came out of Southwest.
Yeah, but beyond that, you know, he was. You know, he was. He had so much, you know, that if you listen to him, in the many times we were growing up, you know, I would listen. He picked me up and took me to college, you know,
he's a good mentor.
And stayed right with me, and
George.
And but. He first of all, and there are other men right here in this West End side that were good mentors. My minister, Reverend Hunter.
Glenn, his son, graduated with us. Glenn Hunter.
Yeah, there's a lot of men, men that you looked up to and that you respected. You know, and I thought that was good.
You remember Doctor? I don't remember Doctor Pinkett. But they say he had a place out on Sullivan years ago, had a bank out here too, and then he moved out to Pinker's Court.
Yeah.
He's in his book right here.
Yeah.
Come and look up.
I remember Dr. Pinkett, Dr. Rollins.
Yeah, well, that's Brute Doctor out here.
I had about that bite and everything one time, remember?
You remember I used to go out there and wrestle?
Yeah.
Man, no, that's wrestling effect, nobody won. You get so sore. I said, man, I'm tired. Let's give it up.
But they were never, but those type people were, you know, were never my inspiration, you know, at all, you know. And just the people in general, you know, if you, you know, if you did something wrong, your mother and father knew about it before you got home.
Yeah, but tell your brother.
You know, and hey, you just didn't, you know, you walked a very, very narrow line.
You
Well, I hate to cut this short. We had half an hour increments, and we'd love to get these pictures.
See, these are the men they were signing them. The men that should be, you know, because they preceded. You know, they were before us.
This is where the was it the Tuskegee fighters,
airmen.
Yeah, they came at Roanoke, and we had was over at the First Baptist Church. We taken that. That's a good picture what they came in. That's a good picture,
yeah. Take me in like Popeye. And,
Well, is there anything else that you all would like to say before we have to switch off?
Well, I can tell you where my people came from. My people, my mother, she came from Farmville, Virginia.
My mother's from Farmville.
Oh, yeah? And my daddy came from Lynchburg. I got a picture of my
dad.
He was 15.
Was
it?
Sure.
Yeah. I would like.
Got a picture of
mine. I'm gonna stop the recorder.
Yeah.
And but thank you all for participating.
You were recording.
I know this is I guess all about the library and the library.